if we look around us, all human beings apparently are the same. They're all the creation of Allah. And we don't see any difference between the people, human beings physically, but there is a difference where we see colors of people are different, their faces look different, their complexion looks different, but physically the features, the makeup of their body is the same. Everyone's kidney is the same, the heart is the same, the liver is the same, our hands are similar, our digestive system is the same. Whenever you go to the hospital, then if you think that you're different inside and others are different inside, doctor, he applies the same cure and remedy to the human beings because everyone's similar in their physically, the body. But alhamdulillah, the kalima is such a thing, the kalima, that it gives iman, faith to a person. And faith is such a thing, iman, that when it comes into the heart of a person, iman, then that person who has iman in his heart, he becomes different to the rest of the people in the world. He looks the same physically, but spiritually, inside, he is unique compared to the rest of creation. Because inside him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalama, as soon as he recites that and believes in it, then such an improvement in that person, such qualities in that person, and such things come into that person, characteristics due to the iman, that if he is to utilize them positively and he focuses on that and he cares about himself, then that human being becomes a very great human being, ajib human being, because such good qualities come into that person due to the kalima. In his body, spiritually, such nur comes of the deen of Allah. And he himself doesn't know. But it's our, you could say, negatives or fault that even then we are sort of in the inferiority complex conundrum. We think that other people are great and better. It's a surprise. This is a big fitna in this day and age. Despite the fact that the kalima is such an asset, iman, faith is such an asset that the human being who has this, he cannot imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much rahmah and mercy and fadl and grace, unique Allah ta'ala has given to that person, that in the eyes of Allah that person becomes so unique, because Allah, the Lord of the universe, the Malik of the universe, the connection between the human being and the creator becomes so unique due to iman, due to faith. Allah ta'ala says that whatever you ask for, I will give to you immediately. That's how close that person, that individual becomes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so close due to the barakah of iman. And if we understand the qualities of iman, the characteristics that Allah ta'ala has given to us, the ni'mas that have come into that person who's got iman and faith, then with regards to that person, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has said about a person who has iman, this is a hadith, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu anhu, he narrates this hadith. And he was a great companion, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu anhu, great status, he had high status. All the companions have a great status, mashallah. Mashallah, they're the stars in the sky of Risalat, prophethood. All of the Sahaba, every Sahabi had his own light, he had his own radiance, he had his own fragrance. So from amongst the Sahaba, there was some special Sahaba with qualities, and this hadith is connected to him. That's why I'm mentioning Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radhiyallahu anhu, his special quality, characteristic, the ni'mah that he attained from Allah. No other companion attained that. SubhanAllah, it's a surprise that such an honor he received, this Sahabi, that all of the companions were envious of him. Envious of him. That was such a unique incident attached to him, that in Uhud, the Battle of Uhud, at that time, and this incident occurred at that time, that he was an archer and he knew how to fight and fire the arrows. And we know how severe was that battle of Uhud, and there are great stories that came from that time. And there was an incident that it was very severe clash between the believers and the opposition. It was intense. And Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, he was near to the Prophet and he was protecting the Prophet and he was giving the response to the enemies with the arrows. And obviously when he was with the Prophet, what a great feeling and what an immense feeling where he was aiming and then the striking. And he was close to the Prophet. And what happened was that his what he used to put the arrow into, the bow, that broke. And when it broke, the Holy Prophet, there was a tree near to him, he broke off the branch and he made it into the shape of like the bow. And he gave it to him. And he said, Sa'd, that fire the arrow, that even now there will be the impact. So these words that the Prophet, that the whole dunya said to him, that may my mother and father be sacrificed, the whole dunya said to him, but Allah's Nabi said it to him directly, that Sa'd, may my mother and father be sacrificed upon you, that fire the arrows. Subhanallah. So tell me, imagine the honor that he received and imagine the status of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas amongst the Sahaba. So this was his incident, his story, and he is the narrator of this hadith. And he stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said ajeeb thing, a unique thing. We're talking about mu'min, the believer, and iman. Ajabtu lil mu'min, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And this is a unique statement that came from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, look at the great status of a mu'min, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying in surprise, that such a glorious and high status and such a rahmah on the believer, such the grace of Allah on the believer, such barakat, such gifts, such treasures that Allah Ta'ala has given, ajr, reward, so much nearness to Allah, so many resources that a believer has, and so much jannah, so much paradise. Yes, and who is this for? He stated, for the mu'min, for the believer. And this is the strength of iman, the strength of iman. Now tell me, that what I'm saying to you, what I'm sharing with you, that I'm with, on one side I'm saying these things because we are living in the era of fitna, and very quickly we lose hope and we get overawed by people around us, and we are so weak and our iman is weak that we get influenced, that even from our tongues we say negative things, that from the hearts they've come onto our mouths, onto our tongues, onto our bodies, and we've started to accept. So this hadith I am sharing with you, on one hand, may Allah Ta'ala accept our discussion, that this hadith has come at this right time. I'm sharing with you that we should beware, and we should recognize our status, that the master of the Prophet said that never lose hope and never think you're inferior, because Allah has given you that treasure, Allah has given you that asset and resource. Remember, if you don't value it, if Allah Ta'ala gives, then He also takes it back. Remember this. And when it goes, then you won't even realize. There's such a great thing Allah Ta'ala has given us, iman. That the Imam al-Anbiya has said that a mu'min, the believer, is a great person indeed. Amazing. Imagine this hadith. The Prophet said that after iman, what a human being becomes when he has iman in his heart. Subhanallah. That look at the believer, the person who has the kalima and who has faith, that Allah Ta'ala has so many rewards of Allah descend onto that person. Why? Because they said that he has such great qualities coming to the believer. And one quality the Prophet ﷺ hinted at, that if ever this person has iman and faith, and he spoke with surprise on this point, that if the believer on this quality, if he cautiously adheres to it and preserves it, then it's amazing what that person can become. It's amazing what that person can become, the believer. And what is that quality, brothers? Iman is present, we have faith, and we should also become that mu'min about whom the Prophet ﷺ was said that it's amazing and it's not difficult. It's not difficult. What is that quality? What's that characteristic? That such a great maqam Allah Ta'ala gives to the believer. Allah's Nabi ﷺ said in this hadith, they become so great, that believer becomes so great due to that quality and characteristic, that believer, that every action of his, then it becomes an action worthy of earning Jannah. It becomes ajr. Whatever action he does, it will become ajr for him. And the example is being given, a beautiful example, that even if he's eating and one morsel of food he's putting into his mouth, even through that he is earning paradise. Even through that he is attaining the hurs of Jannah. Even through that he's attaining Allah's qurb. And even through that he's attaining piety. He's attaining maqamat and darajat and wilayat and qurb of Allah, the nearness to Allah. Tell me, that one piece of food, if we put into our mouth, that is going into our stomach, we're all eating the same way. It's going, everyone's eating for their hunger, to fulfill the hunger. But if we develop that quality and characteristic, that we do this action in the right way, then the Prophet ﷺ said, then he becomes a ajeeb mu'min, a unique mu'min. What is that quality? What is that mu'min? Who is that mu'min who can become so high in status due to having the right approach? Allahu Akbar. Listen to the hadith, it's a beautiful hadith. In tubtu qala alhamdulillah ash-shukr, subhanallah. That when the mu'min, the person who has faith and belief, when he develops this quality, when he develops this practice, this habit in his life, that he, even a small gift or ni'mah that he's attaining from Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed to him, when he attains that from his tongue, immediately what comes out? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allah, I'm grateful to you. Because Alhamdulillah statement is a high level of physically demonstrating being grateful to Allah. Yes, that we don't know, for example, how to be grateful to Allah. We have no measurement gauge or ruler that, for example, show to me how to be grateful for this small finger on our hands. That even if we get pricked on the small finger, or if a little cut comes onto the finger, then so much loss we incur on our hand. Due to the cut, we can't work due to that, we can't do wudu, it's not easy to eat with our hand, and there's a pain throbbing on the finger, and hundreds, thousands of issues just by a small cut on the finger, the life of a person, the day is disturbed. So when my finger is functioning correctly, Alhamdulillah, I'm sat in front of you, then such karam and fadl and grace of Allah that He has kept my finger in the nice way, in the nice position. And this is called tadabbur. This is called tadabbur. When the believer, look, wilayat, we have just got one definition, pray salah, tahajjud, if you want to be wali Allah, just pray and worship. If someone says to you, that, oh, do you want to be wali Allah? As soon as we start thinking, oh, I have to pray tahajjud, I'll have to keep the fast, I'll have to recite so much Quran daily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I've got such a connection with you, my believer, the human being, that any action we do it correctly, immediately Allah ta'ala makes that person a wali Allah. And the azim thing that connects a person to Allah, the most greatest thing that connects a person to Allah, no ibadah will connect you to Allah as quickly as this. The quickest thing that connects you and makes the connection and relationship between you and Allah is if you analyze and ponder over Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas. This is the greatest way. Think about your life. Think about what Allah has given to you. Just 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You know maraqabah we do. Maraqabah means this, that we are thinking Allah. What do we think about Allah? That Allah, you are so, you have given your bounty, your fadl, your grace, your mercy. This is maraqabah. This is maraqabah. Yes? And that's what a person thinks, oh Allah, that you've given me life, you've set me in front of you. Allah, the gifts you've given to me, the ni'mas you've given to me. Everything in your life. That Allah, that I have no status, Allah, you took me from my home, you gave me food, you gave me clothes to wear, Allah, you allowed me to do wudu, you gave me niyyah, Allah, you gave me intention. All of the negatives in the home, there was ease and comfort and luxury and restrictions and hurdles, you stopped them, you picked us up with ease. A person can never do this on his own. That we have so much love that is encapsulated in our heart for other things, if we start counting, we'll lose count. That for example, if for example, a child says, dad, don't go, we'll just stay there. We'll sit there. And we can't even bear the tears or the crying of the children. There's so much love we have for the child. We say, oh, it's okay, I'll pray today at home. My child is crying. Oh, I don't need to go today. Yes? And many people leave the salah due to that. But Allah's karam, at that time, Allah Ta'ala makes His love the stronger feeling in that person. Stronger feeling. And Allah Ta'ala diminishes the love for the dunya. Mother's calling you, son, listen to me. Do something for me. But mother is mother. She has the rights. But Allah Ta'ala says, I'm greater than her. So Allah Ta'ala makes His love greater. And He leaves His mother. He says, mother, I'm just coming. I'll just pray salah and I'll come back to you quickly. Subhanallah. That, and I know that Allah will protect you. Don't worry, you'll be fine. Don't be worried. Yes, because if it's a serious situation, obviously you will never leave the mother in the serious situation. But it's not serious, but it becomes serious. Yes, so he understands that it's not serious, and I'll come back to this. So Allah Ta'ala, He enables us, He invites us, He brings us, He picks us up from us, He eliminates all the love of the dunya, and He makes us detached from all the occupation of the world, He gives us courage and determination, we go towards the masjid. We can't see anything, we come to the masjid, we arrive here, we sit down, everyone departs, we sit here. We stay, a person like me, a person who's not capable, just to listen to me, and your heart feels like to hear, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes? Because this is also a great karam of Allah, grace of Allah, that person like me who's not capable, and you come and sit down, there's an alim, mashallah, and they give speeches and Jummah and hadith, they recite morning and evening, Riyadu Salihin, Sahih Bukhari, they teach and they educate people, they have the haq, they are great, big people. But why do you then sit in front of me? What am I? I'm nothing. MashaAllah, that I'm minus, beyond minus. But what is it that Allah Ta'ala has seated you in front of me? Because there's an action that Allah Ta'ala wants me and you to do. Yes, there's an action that Allah Ta'ala wants me and you to do. He wants me to succeed and He wants you to succeed. Yes, and there's a reason for this. The reason is that Ali Murtaza, rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Sheikh, my teacher, because I took the hand of a wali Allah, and whoever takes the hand of a wali Allah, Allah says, that's it, you've taken the hand of my friend, now I'll continue to open the jannahs for you, the paradise for you. This is a great point here we need to understand. Take the company in the hand of a wali Allah. Allah says, this is the greatest connection. If you take the company in the hand and the sohbet of a wali of Allah in this world, may Allah Ta'ala give us the value and appreciation for this. We don't value this. So Allah Ta'ala seated us here, He's brought us here, He's invited us here, and He's made us do this action that we don't even understand. What is it? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. He's making us do this. Allah has announced, O my servant, when you will remember me, I will remember you. If you remember me in a gathering, I will remember you in a better gathering than that. That you remembering me in the masjid, Allah says, I'll remember you around my arsh. That here in front of you, the other people sitting here, in front of me, Allah says, are my malaika, my angels, muqarrabeen, who I will sit amongst and I will do your zikr, I will mention you. This is that majlis we're sitting in, subhanAllah. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum, Allah says, I'll remember you. You remember me, I'll remember you. Then Allah says, because we do other actions, as Ali Murtaza, my Shaykh, his fairs here, his blessings. Allah says, normal people don't do this. Allah says, when you remember me in your heart, Allah says, I'll remember you also in my heart. SubhanAllah, Allah has also given us this gift, this treasure, that we don't get up. Yes, we don't get up. That we don't leave dhikr until we don't do maraqabah, remembering Allah in the heart. Even if it's 2 minutes or 1 second, in your heart you bow and your head and you remember Allah in your heart. Allah says, you remembered me in your heart, I remember you in my heart. Yes, and what's this mean, remembering in the heart? That this extreme, azim, great qurban, connection and nearness to Allah. Because remembering Allah in your heart is a great action indeed. Great action indeed. So he stated, Allah says, when you remember Him in your heart, Allah says, I'll also do the same. So what a great majlis gathering this is, and the reward. Allah says, when you do dhikr and you end your dhikr gathering, it's not a minor majlis that I have brought you to, Allah says. I have brought you to this gathering. I've made your heart attentive to this and feel like I'm in here. This is not a small gathering. Look at the reward. Allah says, when you finish this gathering, you get up and go. There's thousands of sins that you're wrapped up in and you've got issues. But look at my greatness. Allah says that this gathering is so beloved to me. This amal of yours of dhikr is so great to me. Allah says that you don't even leave the gathering physically and the stamp on your rear has been applied by the angels that you have been forgiven on your back. And even if you die after that, if you don't go to paradise, then complain. Because whose promise is this? إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Allah says, your Rabb, His promises are not lies. They are not false. So also do dua Allah, that give me such a death, that when soon as we're free from dhikr gathering, Allah, give us death at that time. Because You've promised that You'll forgive us at that time, and You will eliminate our sins. So Allah, give us death such a time, such a way, as soon as we're free from doing dhikr, Allah, take our ruh out at that time, so that we come to You in such a state that we're reciting Your name and dhikr is happening from our heart and from our tongues, we are remembering You. SubhanAllah. So what I was saying and requesting to you via this hadith, that what is that ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given such a great reward? And the Prophet of Allah, so I'm saying that I'm surprised and taken aback at the mu'min. Which mu'min? Which believer? That mu'min who says, Alhamdulillah, ashukr. That individual who is grateful to Allah, when he gets a ni'mah from Allah, then he's grateful to Allah. When he gets a gift from Allah, he's grateful to Allah. What a great ni'mah. Okay, we've understood this. And then next in the hadith, what does it say? Two things mentioned here. One is that person, the mu'min, who's the mu'min for whom Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you've become a unique individual through which action? When Allah Ta'ala gives you a ni'mah, just like Allah's given this ni'mah. From our hearts, we are grateful to Allah. Millions of times over, we're grateful to you that you've allowed us to come to your dhikr gathering. There are thousands of other things, but this is a great ni'mah. And the second point on top of that, this is a unique point. This is something to hear, to listen to what I'm about to say. Two points. One, you have to be grateful that Allah, you've brought me here to this gathering. Yes, sir, we understand this, that you get a reward from Allah, a gift from Allah, and you should be grateful to Allah. Obviously, you've got money in your pocket, alhamdulillah, I've got money, I've got food, alhamdulillah, I'm grateful. These are common things, regular things, by habit, by routine, you do that. But the next thing that the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning, that subhanAllah, and this is what I'm surprised about, that how a mu'min's rank and status is very high. What is that point? That when tubdu qala alhamdulillah, subhanAllah. That when that individual, that servant of Allah, even here he says alhamdulillah, what time? Not that he's getting an ni'mah, what time does he say alhamdulillah? As-sabr. At that time when he's afflicted with a problem, an illness, an issue, a distress, even at that time he says alhamdulillah, subhanallah. This is the daraja that we need to understand. The status that we need to understand. The Prophet ﷺ said that this moment when I see him, the believer, I am amazed that the rewards of Allah that come on him that time is fadl of Allah, the rahmah, the blessings, the qurb that comes to that person, that when he gets an ni'mah, he is grateful. But when he gets distress and pain and problems and sorrows, or he's got a tragedy in life, or a calamity has befallen him, and he loses out, then it's stated at that time, in that condition, when he says alhamdulillah, it's stated, this is the great achievement of that believer. And who does this, tell me? Who does this? Who does this today? This is the real achievement. Yes, there are two conditions always a human being passes through in life. Two states. Either you're in a difficulty or you're in ease. Either you're ill or you're lying down on a mattress. Sometimes you're healthy, sometimes you're down. Yeah, there are two, isn't it? Positive or negative. Either you're getting what you want, or you don't get what you want. Whatever you desire, you're not getting. There's no third position. It's either positive or negative. So obviously everybody's grateful if you get what you want and you're living the nice life. But if you don't get it, what you want, what's the shukr there? How are you grateful there? So it stated that by not getting what you need and being grateful, when you get something, what's being grateful for that? Alhamdulillah, you're grateful to Allah. And when you don't get what you want or desire, then how is a person grateful for that state? What's the tariqah for that? What's the method for that? How do we express our gratitude? Through sickness, difficulty, sorrow, distress, you're not getting what you want, you're asking Allah, you're not getting what you want. How should you be grateful for that? How should you say alhamdulillah at that time? And what's the shukr for that? He will say, on that thing, that distress, that difficulty, that tragedy, that calamity, what's the being grateful for that? That he does sabr at that time. He was sabr. He demonstrates patience at that time. We hear commonly a person sick or he's got difficulty or problem. Have sabr, we say this. Saying it is easy, but doing it is difficult. Say subhanAllah. Saying it is easy, yes, this is such a daraja. You don't just get it like that by talking. To attain the rank of sabr, you great people, great walis of Allah have done great mujahida. Because Allah Ta'ala says that this is the characteristic that you need to develop, that whenever you have issues, even at that time, you are grateful to Allah. And this is the condition for which a human being does mujahidat, he works hard, that without the sohbat of the teacher, you cannot attain this rank. You cannot attain this rank. It's easy to say, I have sabr, be patient, no worries, everything's fine, no problem. Yes. But sabr, what is sabr? Let's understand this. What's the definition of sabr? Because we say it, but we don't understand the definition of sabr. Sabr, the definition of patience or sabr, what does it mean? Sabr is that thing, my friends, that when an individual, he experiences problems or difficulties or he's got issues in his life that he did not expect or want, what should he do at that time? Number one, Immediately, that person should say to him inside, internally in his heart, he should say that this issue that's occurred, this difficulty that's come, this sickness that's come, this problem that's come, I'm not getting what I want, 100%, this is from Allah's selection, Allah's choice. This is Allah's will, Allah's selection, Allah's will, Allah's choice that's made this happen. You've heard this many times, but these are the steps that you need to take. So step number one, you can say from your tongue and in your heart, Allah, whatever sir, the difficulty, accident, sickness, problem, calamity, I'm not getting what I want, that is taking so long for me to acquire something, or this problem I'm experiencing, or there are restrictions, or hurdles, or barriers, or problems in my house, my children are disobedient, my family are disobedient, a fight with my wife, a quarrel, everything that's happened, all of this has happened, Allah, due to your will and desire, because you are the Rabb, the Creator. This is called tadabbur. Yeah, this is called analysis. Allah, it's with your selection and your will and your choice. Then next point, point number two. This is sabr I'm defining to you, explaining. Insan, we are human beings, that who doesn't get a regret in his heart when he has a problem? Who after sickness doesn't get disappointment? Who is there if he has a loss in the world, he's not upset? Who is there if he can't complete his requirements, he doesn't get upset? We are human beings. Well, obviously every human being will experience the negatives. That's fitratan, naturally, in our hearts will feel that. So what is sabr? That despite the sorrow in the heart, because we're human, despite our heart becoming small and narrow-minded, and we have tragedy, affliction in the heart, and there's depression in our minds and hearts, we call it depression or anxiety in today's language, we say. All of these things you're feeling emotionally, because we're insan, I'm not getting this, I'm not acquiring this, I'm not achieving this, waswasa, shaitan's pestering you. Then step number two, what do you know, I'm sick, my children are sick, and that girl, and this has happened, and that's happened, thousands of things happen. Despite this, that your heart is tight and becoming narrow, then at that time, what do we need to do? What should we say? What should we feel? What should we say to ourselves? That whatever's happening, number one, Allah, it's your will, and whatever is occurring, whatever has happened and is happening and is not happening, I have 100% yakin and faith and belief that this is for my benefit, and it's totally the truth and haq that is happening. MashaAllah. That's step number two. I say that such a nice tranquility will come into the heart. Even if you have experienced the biggest tragedy, you are upset and disappointed. But I know that this is temporary. But what's happening to me, 100% is haq and truth, because you are Rabb, you are the Creator. It's happening due to your will. And not 1% is there loss for me. Rather, 100% certainly there's benefit for me in this. Most definitely is my benefit. My Rabb, why will he make me upset? Why will he make me go down? I haven't understood today. Maybe I'll understand tomorrow or the day after. Or maybe I'll understand in Jannah and thereafter. But in this incident, most definitely, Allah, you want to save me from something. You want something to occur. And it's my benefit definitely in this. What is occurring? Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Has the penny dropped in the brain? No. The thousands of difficulties and sorrows and sicknesses will disappear. Number one, Allah is your will. And number two, 100% whatever is occurring is for my benefit. I don't understand, no problem. There's an example I'll give to you. This child says to you, oh, I want ice cream. And he's got a bad throat, sore throat. Yeah, he says, give me ice cream. And he's pleading and begging. And the father, even though you're not giving to the child, are you doing zulm on the child? No. You're not doing zulm. You're saying, no, I can't give this to you, my child. I won't give it to you. And he's doing zid and he's crying. Cry as much as you want. Because you are father. And you know as a parent, that if I give ice cream to the child, then his throat will get worse. And so he's stopping giving the ice cream. He stopped it. So Allah Ta'ala also, the things we want to do, Allah Ta'ala puts the brakes on. I won't let you do this. I won't let you achieve this. Say Subhanallah. Because you don't know if this is achieved or implemented, then you will go into extreme loss, into extreme problem. But there's one point to remember. This doesn't mean that when you're sick or when you've got a problem that you don't try. No, you should try it. The door for trying and making an effort, Allah says, I've not closed. With this raza, that your decision, Allah, is the haq. But Allah says that you need to utilize the resources. And then subhanAllah, if I succeed after that, then this will also be Allah Ta'ala's decision. Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala hasn't said that, no, don't eat. If you're sick, don't take the medicine. Allah said don't, hasn't said don't do that. Or if you got problems, don't try to fix it. No. Allah says the door for effort and hard, working hard is open. Keep on using the asbab, the resources in the world. But if you are not achieving what you want to, despite you trying and making effort, you're not succeeding, then stay happy. Say, Subhanallah, I'm trying. And it, for me, it's not improving physically, but it's better that if it doesn't happen, this is Allah's will. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So Allah's will has come. Number two, you say 100%, this is for my benefit. Number three, the third point, that look what a great thing Allah has made. What is this called? This is sabr. Sabr is also a state that Allah has made. In this gathering, we're understanding the meaning of sabr. So it's Allah's will, Allah's pleasure, what's happening. And number two, 100%, you have yaqeen that whatever's happening, Allah's doing it for my benefit, 100%. And that nothing is against the goodness for me. There's no pain or difficulty. And these two points, when you implement, this is when you are implementing sabr. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that what is the name of this sabr? The Prophet said the sabr that you will implement, even this will become your shukr. This will become your being grateful to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that shakartum lazidannakum. Allah says that if you are grateful, I will multiply the treasure of you. So what will Allah Ta'ala multiply here? There's a question here, isn't it? The question here is that Allah, if I'm grateful for these issues, then how will you multiply? If Allah has given you the daraja of shukr, because the state of being grateful is the highest. Let me explain another point here. That this is where the quarrel started, the clash. When shaitan, wretched, cursed shaitan, Allah expelled him, then first and foremost, what did he say, wretched shaitan? He said, okay Allah, that due to this man, human being, you've expelled me, so even I will do the same, that I will make them commit such a sin, I will present them in front of you. The shaitan challenged Allah, and he came out, and he said, zina, alcohol, this, nothing. He didn't mention none of these things. These sins. That for us, these are big, big sins. Zina, adultery, alcohol, murdering, this. These are minor sins for shaitan. The biggest sin is the sin that shaitan said is the worst. And what did he say? Allah, I know your servant, that the pain that they will give to you, Allah, that the pain that will give you, the thing that you don't like, Allah, because he was arif, he was an alim, he was a scholar. Shaitan was arif, he was an alim, he was a sufi, he was everything. He wasn't the ashik though. He wasn't the ashik. Say Subhanallah. Maybe you haven't understood what I've said. And we, mashallah, are becoming the ashiks. Subhanallah, the walis of Allah, they make the students the ashiks, the lovers of Allah. And shaitan, he was an alim, he was a scholar, he had the knowledge, he had all the safat. He was everything. He had everything. And there was no alim better than him. But what was he not? He wasn't the ashik, the lover of Allah. So the wali Allah says that you keep everything. So we'll do the action is that we are going to make our students the ashiks, the lovers and nothing else. So do you want to become, or are you becoming the ashik or not? Tell me. So a person who goes on this path and he doesn't become an ashik, then he's failed. The enjoyment is that when you meet the ashik, the teacher, then you should also become the ishq, the ashik, and the love should come into your heart. So who can be greater ashik than the wali Allah? When you sit in the sohbat of a wali Allah, then the ishq, the current, the injection, it flows into the heart of the student. That's why we see that Subhanallah, whenever you practice, sometimes the students kissing the hands of the teacher, picking up the shoes, and the other people say, what is this drama and game? And they're opening the door for the sheikh, they're serving the teacher, but the ashik, the love of the student, he doesn't know. He doesn't do it for showing off. He doesn't do it for drama. He's in the ishq of Allah. He's immersed and drowned in the love of Allah, not in the love of the teacher. When the student is doing khidmat of his teacher, in reality, he's for now for Allah at that time, the student. He's doing it for Allah's sake. He's not thinking about the teacher. His heart and mind and soul are there in the court of Allah. He's doing everything for Allah Ta'ala's sake. And for Allah Ta'ala's love, he's prepared to do everything for his teacher. And you can see that he's picking up the shoes for the teacher. I'll do your khidmat. Oh Shaykh, I'll do this for you. Why? Because for the beloved servant of Allah, the student is serving the Shaykh for the sake of Allah. Say Subhanallah. Yes, Subhanallah. So this is the reality of the practice of the student when he does the things with the sincerity. And people say this is bid'ah, innovation, they're doing this for the sheikh, the teacher, they're worshipping him, etc. No, you go and sit in the khanqah and experience. If you want to see the real state of affairs, go to the khanqah and darvesh, spend time with a darvesh wali Allah in a khanqah, then you learn these principles of deen, then you learn that what is ishq and what is love for Allah, and what does the true student do for the sake. Sometimes he's sleeping and sometimes he's crying, he's serving the teacher, because it's open playing field, the khanqah. Go and do what you need to do to get close to Allah. Open permission, because you've come here to attain the nearness to Allah. Subhanallah. So this is sabr, patience. So when a person, so here, what was I saying to you? Yes. So la in shakartum wa lazidannakum, Allah says. Allah says that when you're grateful to me, then I'll multiply the goodness, and I'll multiply what I give to you, the treasures that I give to you. So hear the point here, understand the point. That when you have done sabr on difficulty, and that means that you are being grateful, because the Prophet ﷺ said that when you demonstrate sabr, this means you are grateful. And Allah says, when you're grateful, then I will multiply that treasure. So the ajr you'll get on sabr, then Allah says that I will multiply the ajr that I'm giving to you for being patient. So the ajr that you got, the reward that you got for being patient, Allah will multiply that and increase that and make you stronger. The more you do sabr, the ajr you get for the patience, Allah will multiply. Allah won't multiply the difficulty, He'll multiply the reward that you get for that. So Allah Ta'ala, that human being becomes such a great human being, such a great human being, that the Imam al-Anbiya, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ajabtu lil mu'mineen, the ajeeb mu'min, this person is, what a great believer this person becomes. Such a great mu'min, because he's demonstrated patience. Because the Prophet ﷺ could see when a mu'min like this walks around in the world, subhanAllah, that Prophet ﷺ, he would see these people, and he would testify that when I see such individuals like this, such a mu'min who has sabr, and in all hal, in all conditions and situations, he's grateful to Allah. Then what happens to such a mu'min? Listen. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, such a mu'min, such a believer who has difficulty, he has sabr at the same time. And happiness, he demonstrates happiness and shukr. Both times he's saying Alhamdulillah from his mouth. What's the reason for this? Allah says that he becomes such a mu'min, such a believer, that his every action of his becomes such, that Allah Ta'ala is becoming happy with him, and he's getting ajr upon ajr and reward upon reward. And he stays in this world, and he's roaming in Jannah and Paradise. So that he becomes such a great believer. So all of the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, they have this special quality in them. And how does a person attain this? Through mujahidat, working out. All of these maqams I've explained to you today, these are spiritual maqamat, spiritual status. And what is the maskan for this? What is the home for this? What is the home? What is the place where you can acquire this? Lenis is the heart. That's where you develop this. The heart, if you develop your heart, if you reform your heart, improve your heart, all of the spiritual qualities will come into your heart and be absorbed into your heart. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, don't do a U-turn and turn your face from the dhikr of Allah. Allah's given us a great, great thing. Allah's made your heart, and to improve your heart, Allah says all of the development and improvement and refinement and the madarij and the status and the qurb and the nearness of Allah and Jannah is made through what? This is an ajeeb hadith. Allah Ta'ala says that you won't find me anywhere. Where will you find the greatness of Allah? Allah Ta'ala says that you will find my nearness in your heart. Shall I explain to you the tafsir of this hadith? That Allah Ta'ala says, why is he said you won't find me except in the heart? Because Allah says, I am without any example. That there's no place physically where Allah is bound. Allah is not bound anywhere physically. But Allah Ta'ala says, ajeeb, unique example, that in the heart you will find the greatness of Allah. Because Allah is so great and so vast, that Allah says that there's no power that can seal Allah, but the heart of the believer is so great and vast, that Allah Ta'ala you will find in your heart. You will attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is the point that you need to understand. There's not that Allah physically comes into the heart of the mu'min. Astaghfirullah. No. Allah is explaining here that you cannot attain the nearness of Allah anywhere except for the heart. So the heart of a mu'min is so great, so great, so vast, that you cannot imagine the strength and the capacity of the heart. Allah Ta'ala cannot be found physically anywhere, but imagine how great is the heart of a mu'min, that he attains the nearness to Allah in his heart, that you cannot imagine the example of this. And Allah says, how will you improve your heart? How do you develop your heart? فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكُرُونَ. Allah says, for the heart, to develop the heart, I've given you my gift of my remembrance. My name is such a thing. My name is so blessed, Allah says, that when you recite it and remember me in your heart, Allah says, then your heart will start to become developed and improved and refined, and it will become such a thing. Your heart, all the marifah, the nearness and the spirituality will start to be developed in your heart. So my brothers, develop your heart. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. If you have passion, if you have desire, and you want to attain the hereafter, akhirah, and then develop the heart and have the love in the heart, because with the snap of the fingers a person departs from this world. Within a click of the fingers he reaches to the other world. So if you have yaqeen and belief, then make your hearts and work on your heart. Develop your heart, work hard on your hearts. Because whoever's heart is made, then sit with those people. That's the way to develop your heart. Wa akhru dawana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the Rushdie.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina al-muslim. Allahumma inna nasluka min khayri ma salaka min wa nabiyyuka Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma istaghatha min wa nabiyyuka Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أنت المستعان عليك البلاء ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.